We're going to take a reading from John's Gospel, chapter 3. You know, dear friends, as we, before we take this reading, if there's anybody in our meeting tonight and you have that yearning to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, let me tell you, there's lots of people who would like to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. But sometimes, you know, there is lots of things that hold them back. And they put off this all-important decision of trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Whether they be young or whether they be old, there are many that would put up their hand if you say, who wants to go to heaven? And you know, this past week even, we have been taking some children to camp, and it was good news for us to know when we got to the camp yesterday that there were two young ones who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. And so I just tell you that you know, if there's someone in our meeting tonight, there are many people still coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior, and what a joy it is, what a thrill it gives the heart to know that your sins are forgiven and you have a home in heaven. So many things happening in the world today. Just tonight, as before we came along here, I just heard on the news that a man was mowing his lawn today and he was picking up the clippings in the gutter. And even though it was a very wide road, a car came along and knocked him down and he was killed. See, all these things happen today. I don't tell you that to scare you, but just to let you know that, you know, things happen today. And oh, what assurance it gives the Christian who've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior tonight to know that our names are in heaven's book of life. And come what may, if the Lord should take us, we're going to be with him in glory. And that's a wonderful feeling, I can tell you. We're going to read about a man who himself wanted to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel? Art thou a teacher of Israel? And knowest not these things? Verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and he received not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall he believe if I told you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. May the Lord just bless the reading of his word to our hearts. I might add, dear friends, if we just read that passage tonight, there is enough in there for you to realize that you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The message of the gospel, for God so loved the world. And my message tonight is just simply entitled, God's Lifeline. And that's John 3:16. I was taken up a little while ago by some articles that appeared in a morning paper. And I think one Sunday morning I may have briefly mentioned or touched on the topic. But in thinking about the message tonight, I just could not get past this little article, which was in the Daily Telegraph on the 23rd of December. And it was written by a columnist, and I have it here. Well, I managed to get hold of it after I spoke about it. At the time I didn't know where I'd seen it, but I since found a copy of the paper. And this columnist, Michael Duffy, and it's quite a long story here, and I've taken just bits and pieces out of it, but he confessed to being an unbeliever, but he found himself envying Christians from time to time as he watched the Christian folk and saw them move about and how happy they were and their circumstances, how they dealt with their circumstances. And of course that is because they have the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom they can go with their problems and their needs and their cares, and he was always there to listen and to give them comfort and joy within their hearts. You know, that's the real wonderful thing about being a Christian. And when I say being a Christian, I'm talking about one who has asked the Lord Jesus Christ into their hearts and life and said, Lord, the chorus writer says, come into my heart. Come into my heart today. Come into my heart to stay. Someone who has realized that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for their sin, and just like I did, realized the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross for my sin. And you know, at the time when I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I sort of didn't see everybody else in the hall. I just saw myself. Because you see, on that occasion, I can remember sitting right at the back, and the hall was full, and the speaker asked someone if they wanted to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, well, to just come up to the front. Now, you know, you don't have to do that. Right in your seat where you're sitting, you can respond to the message of the gospel and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart. But as a young fellow that time, I was sitting right at the back, and I wanted to get out first that night, Sunday night in a gospel hall in Broad Road, Wynberg, in Cape Town, South Africa. And I wanted to get out first. But during that night, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he spoke to me in such a way that he made me realize that I just had to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as my own and personal Savior. I'd been going to Sunday school since a little boy. Sunday school, open air meetings, going along to the hospitals, visiting people, dropping tracts off, but you know, I hadn't trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I was just going along with all the younger Christians and the older ones as well, taking the message of the gospel, but myself, I hadn't trusted him. But that night the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to me, and spoke to me in such a way that I realized that I had to trust him as my own and personal Savior if I wanted to go to heaven one day, and if I wanted to have my name recorded in heaven's book of life. And so you see, the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, He is seeking for someone here. And if you're seeking Him tonight, dear friend, let me tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ will indeed save you. And so this man, he watched people, but I would say that he watched people of all walks of life. And perhaps, although he said Christians, there may have been amongst those people who were going just to church because it was their tradition, people who were attending various denominations, and he sort of looked at them. And his comments were, researchers in America found that belief in God, especially if associated with regular involvement with organized religion, is linked to improved physical health. And Craig Hassel, a lecturer in the community medicine general practice at Monash University, in November's Medical Journal of Australia, he noted that the decline in organized religion over the past 50 years has been accompanied by a big increase in mental illness, especially depression, stress, and youth suicide, violence, and abuse. And so there was this gentleman called Michael Duffy, and he observed that there was a difference somehow in the people who had that tendency to worship God, to hear what God has to say, and not to turn a deaf ear, as opposed to those who would just not have anything to do with the things of God at all. And he goes on to say, to reap all these benefits, simply believing in God helps. Although he was an unbeliever himself. He says, whatever the answer is, this is a fascinating and important subject, and one that could touch the lives of many of us in the future. There was a man, and the heading of his subject was hoping that God will throw out a lifeline. And here I feel, to me, this article comes from someone who in himself, in some way, is searching to know more about God. He was a learned man, or he is a learned man, writing in the newspaper, and probably a well-off person as well. But a person who I feel, somehow in his heart, felt that there was more in life, and that was to be found, as he put it, in believing in God. Now, you know, a lot of people say, I believe in God. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, just believing and just saying that I believe is not really what the Bible's talking about. Nicodemus was a man, he was a learned man. And he was a teacher, a very wise teacher. He was a ruler. And Nicodemus in himself too. If you feel tonight perhaps, yes, just little old me, and I need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ I need to come to know more about him and how I can be saved. Well, look here. Here's Nicodemus, a well-learned man, and a man very high up in the society of his day. And he came to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he wanted to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had heard of the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ had performed. He had heard of lots of things that the Lord Jesus Christ has said. And he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said unto him, Master, except, go back to the next page, he said unto him, the same came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, you know, I find Nicodemus a little bit like this man in the newspaper here, searching for something. But you know something, the Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that we read about, we find that he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to the right person. And you know, sometimes people want to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, but instead of reading God's word and finding out in God's word exactly where they stand and what God wants to do for them, we find that they try and do things on their own. And they say sometimes, perhaps, well, look, okay, maybe if I go to church, and these were some of the people that this man was observing, if I go to church, if I live a good life, if I do good deeds, if I help the poor, all these things will help me, and I'll be a better person. Well, you certainly will be a better person, I can tell you that. I know of a man who did those things many years ago, and he was a Jewish man. And he said to me, but George, surely God can't turn a blind eye to all these things that I'm doing. He was a bachelor and used to take his motor car, load it up with goods at Christmas time, drive it around, give parcels to the poor, drive around, take it everywhere. And he said to me, surely I'm doing all these things. And he was a very kind man. And you know, those things are good, very good. But you know, they will not get us into heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ, when Nicodemus came to him and wanted to know more about himself, the Lord Jesus Christ immediately said to Nicodemus, look, Nicodemus, let me tell you, you must be born again. And that's the subject tonight. You must be born again. And of course we know how that Nicodemus went into the story about how can a man be born when he is old. And the Lord Jesus Christ went on to say to Nicodemus and to talk to him how about we are born in the flesh. And of course, as we know, that all of us born in the flesh, we are sinners. We are born in sin. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the question I must ask you tonight, dear friends, are you diligently seeking the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Nicodemus, he did the right thing. He believed who the Lord Jesus Christ was. He believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was sent from God. For no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And dear friend, tonight, if you believe the Bible, if you believe God's word, and if you believe tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven's glory to die on Calvary's cross, and you earnestly want to meet with him tonight and to have the sin question settled in your life like Nicodemus, dear friend, tonight let me say that you will be saved. But let me ask you the question again, like Nicodemus, are you earnestly seeking God tonight? And perhaps you could just think about that. You've come together tonight to listen to the message of the gospel, to hear what God has to say to you, to listen to what is read from God's word. But I'm sure in your heart of hearts also there must be that desire within your heart to hear the voice of God speaking to you. And God is seeking for that earnest response from your heart. Have you come tonight seeking God? Because if you have, dear friend, you will go out of this hall tonight a joyful person. You will go out of this hall like I did on that occasion when I walked from the front back to the back of the hall. I felt a burden had rolled from my shoulders because my faith and trust was now in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I had no more that fear of Him coming and me being left behind. That question was settled once and for all. And the reason why I ask you tonight, dear friend, are you earnestly seeking the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Because if you are, He's here to meet you. On that same page, there was another man, you see. And I only read this afterwards. But down the bottom it says there, no room for baby Jesus in Bethlehem. Now this man, his name was Bruce Wilson. But he was a different sort of a person. The other man, he saw the results of God in the lives of people. And he was yearning, I feel, for that same peace that he saw around and about him. Here we have another man. Well, he wasn't really earnestly seeking God. And you know something? He went places. He really went places where the Lord Jesus Christ walked. You see, you can sit in the meeting tonight and you can say, oh, well, I've been in a gospel meeting. I've heard the reading of God's word. I've enjoyed the lovely songs and the hymns, and go out of this place and then still be lost for time and for all eternity. Here was a man, and he writes his article here, and he was off to Jerusalem. And as he put it, he was going to see some of his friends. Because of that time of the year, he was going to say hi to some of his friends and just visit them. But he wrote about this particular incident in Jerusalem as it stands today. And in commenting on the situation in Jerusalem, he wondered what the man called Jesus would have made of it, the situation as it is in Jerusalem today. The fighting, the killing, all the violence that's going on at the moment. And he said, I thought back on a number of times I have been to the birthplace. And what a curiously inconsequential little place it is. Neither particularly scenic, nor holy, or even quaint. Of course, Christians would say that is exactly the point. It wasn't meant to be special. And then he goes on here, and I haven't gone and spoken about it, but he mentions about Micah's prophecy about Bethlehem. And then went on to say, of course, you can find anything to fit all circumstances in the testaments. He says, now I hardly know any practicing Christian of any age. And he closed his article with these words, to cheer myself up, he says, I went to Thomas Russell Wyberer, who wrote these words, a Christian man is a man who feels repentance on Sunday for what he did on Saturday and is going to do on Monday. Here to me was a man who certainly was not interested to know more about God, and a man who visited the Holy Land, visited all those places, and it had no effect on him at all. He wasn't earnestly seeking to know the Lord Jesus Christ or what he had done when he was here on earth, but he went to say hi to some friends of his, but he found the time to write an article and to give his, what I would term, not good thoughts about the place. And dear friends, that's why I say tonight, are you earnestly seeking the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Nicodemus The Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him and he said, "How can these things be?" And the Lord Jesus Christ went on and told him about being born in the flesh. And you know, we read in Psalm 51 and verse 5, the psalmist tells us, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." So there is no question tonight, dear friends, that you and I, we are born in sin, and we are born with that sinful nature. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5 and 12, "Wherefore as by one man, Adam, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And that was what the Lord Jesus Christ was telling Nicodemus. Physically, this body of ours is doomed for the grave. We're all going to die because of sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." And Nicodemus said unto him, "Again, Lord, how can these things be? How can a man be born when he is old?" And the Lord Jesus Christ had to bring him closer and closer and closer to the Word and say to Nicodemus, "We are now talking about spiritual things, Nicodemus, not about this physical body. There is nothing we can do about that. Sin has done what it can. We are born in sin. This body is going to the grave. But Nicodemus, what I'm trying to tell you is that spiritually, you are dead. And unless you put your faith and trust in me, unless you put your faith in trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came to die on Calvary's cross, well, you will be doomed for all eternity." The Lord Jesus Christ spoke very kindly to Nicodemus and pointed to him, and he said unto him, "If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man hath ascended up to the heaven, but he that came down from heaven, the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I'm sure that as the Lord Jesus Christ spent that time with Nicodemus, he must have gone back to the Old Testament and spoken about how the children of Israel in the wilderness, when they were bitten by the serpents, how that they died one by one, and God came in and said to Moses, "Put up this brazen serpent, and whoever looks on it will live." And the Lord Jesus Christ used that to show him how that one day he himself will die on the cross for your sin and mine. And what we have to do is to look to him and believe that he did it on your behalf and mine. And so here in John chapter 3 and verse 16, the Lord Jesus Christ throws the lifeline to Nicodemus. This man said he was hoping that God would throw a lifeline. And here God throws the lifeline to Nicodemus and he says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, isn't that simple? Isn't that really clear? The way the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to Nicodemus, he didn't tell him to go and do some great thing. He said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friend, tonight, if you want to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you want to have your sins forgiven, if you want to have your name recorded in heaven's book of life, that's what it takes, is simply just to believe. And you know, when you believe something, you tell others about it too, don't you? When I sometimes come across something that I think someone else would like to know, I go and tell them. And when I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believed in Him. And then I went and told others. And you know, tonight, it would be a good thing tonight if you came along earnestly to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, like Nicodemus did. Well, why don't you tonight say yes? The hymn writer says, why not say yes to the Savior tonight? He gently is calling for thee. And that's my message tonight, dear friends. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to you, you must be born again. Except a man be born of the Spirit, of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Oh, how that man, the Philippian jailer, he said to Paul, sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Dear friends, that's the message of salvation. That's the gospel. That's the simple message that the Lord Jesus Christ came. He died on Calvary's cross for your sin and mine. And if you put your faith and trust in Him tonight, He'll save you. And He'll write your name in heaven's book of life. And when you come along next week to this gospel meeting again, if the Lord spares us, you won't be sitting in your seat wondering what's going to happen to you, but you'll be sitting in your seat, and along with the other Christians, you'll be praying that the words of the preacher might fall on some other unsaved soul, and they too will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. So you see, things can change just like that. And the Lord Jesus Christ can do it for you.